If you didn't have your coffee this morning, you just got your jolt of caffeine. I am a little different in the way I'll present than my dad. So you get the little dichotomy here. But we are here to talk, and I'm here to focus more on condoms. And I did go to Berkeley, and together we did start National Condom Week many, many years ago when the issues were unintended pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections, and at that time really the issue was gonorrhea. And we have changed many times in the last 40 years on why we're focusing on condoms, but I'm going to focus us on the promotion of condoms. So 35 years, I'm going to focus more because that's how long I've been really doing this. He's been a little longer, so morbidity, mortality, as I said, unintended pregnancies, gonorrhea, and syphilis, then transition to herpes, HIV, AIDS, chlamydia, and we're back here now at unintended pregnancies. Here are some of the programs that were condom promotion. I was involved in public health as a health educator, and I have now moved into industry. And so I'm going to be coming for the rest of this presentation away from public health and promotion into where I see this and why I got out of public health and promotion, because I felt strongly, and I still believe to this day, we can get far more people and men using condoms through marketing than we can through health education. So that is going to be the perspective I bring today. So 35 years, lots of programs. What do we have to show for that? If the overall objective is to dramatically increase condom utilization, how have we done? Well, we still have epidemics of STIs that are raging on. We still have the highest rate of unintended pregnancies in the industrialized world. And condom sales have been flat. And I can tell you that from industry statistics, have been flat for the last 10 years. So we got a big fat D. The only reason we can get a D is because the last 25 years before this 10 years, we actually did move the needle. But the last 10 years, we have not moved the needle. So I'm going to suggest that we have to stop doing things the same way that we've been doing, and I'm going to challenge you all to start thinking differently from how you've been thinking. I would suggest we have to stop focusing on the condom and start focusing on the social and emotional barriers to use. I would suggest that public health has to stop thinking about condoms and start thinking about sex. What are the two most important reasons men give for not using condoms? Hands? Two most important reasons. Anybody?
It doesn't feel as good.
Yeah, loss of feeling, number one. That's actually number two. What's number one?
Spontaneity.
Huh?
Spontaneity.
Spontaneity. It interrupts the moment. Those are the two top. When you, in market research, you survey men, more than two-thirds of men will give those as their top two reasons for not using condoms. Interrupts the moment, loss of sensation. I don't know how much time we're spending focusing on that, because mostly we're focusing on how to buy condoms cheap. All right, so let's moving on. Interrupts the moment, right? Here we go, Eric. Thank you for knowing that. So the condom industry has invested a lot of money, and actually I'm going to tell you today, has made great strides in improving the quality of condoms in the last 35 years. Condoms used to look like this. For those of us a little older, they were opaque, they stunk, they had jelly-like lubricant that felt like crap. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of better condoms out there right now. I don't know if you're distributing them through your programs or the programs you're funding, but there are a lot better condoms. They come in a variety of shapes. They come in a variety of textures. They come in a whole lot of choices. Lubrication, some desensitizing, some heating, some cooling. We've got colors up the yin-yang. We've got sizes, so there's large, there's small, and there's thickness. And I ended with thickness for a reason, because the two reasons people don't use condoms, interrupts the moment. We can't do a lot about that from the condom industry, but we can do a lot about loss of feeling. I want you to see this chart. This is just the last 13 years, how condoms have gotten thinner. That's how we improve sensation. Are you working to promote condoms that provide sensation? Because I do know you're all working darn hard trying to get men to use condoms. We're going to spend a lot of money. A lot of federal money, a lot of state money, a lot of sweat money, getting men to use condoms, but are you giving them the condoms they want? The ones that reduce, that minimize that loss of feeling. Because I'm going to go back to 35 years, condoms have gotten a lot better. A lot better. And all the condoms are good out there. You might hear, oh yes, brand X breaks more than brand Y. It's bunk. All condoms break, and why do they break? Misuse. So we got to let go of, well, we're hearing our patient population report that brand X is bad. It's not true. They're all good condoms out there. So I'm not going to sit here and tout my condom company is better than the next. But there are differences in thickness, and people need to have variety out there. So to increase condom utilization over the next few years, and I'm running out of time, I'm sure, we have to articulate, promote how condoms are so much better. It's not my father's condom. It's not. We need to stop pretending that a condom is a condom is a condom. That is a huge problem in public health today. Not all condoms are alike. Not all guys want to wear the same shoes. So why would they all want to wear the same condom? We have to stop buying and distributing condoms based on price as if they're a commodity. Because cheapening sex does not get men to want to use condoms. And we have to stop thinking about condoms and think about sex. Because that's what it's about. It's not about the condom. All right. Continuing on. Educate yourselves. How many of you know about the breadth of variety of condoms that are available? How many of you know that there's a condom that has texturing and desensitizing cream out there? How many of you know what a microthin condom is? How many of you ever felt a microthin condom and then pulled out another condom that is the most popular condom and it still may smell and still may be opaque and it still may be thick? If you do not know the difference of condoms, you should not be out there promoting condoms. You need to invest on the intent versus the impact. Buying as many condoms for as cheap as possible certainly has the impact of buying a lot of condoms, but it does not have the impact of getting people to use them. Intent is right. We need to increase utilization. Impact is getting them on and getting them used. So, don't spend thousands of dollars trying to get men to the moment and then cheap out, giving them cheap, crappy condoms. They're all good. They're not going to break. That's my point. But you got to have variety. The best condom is the condom they use. Give them a choice and let them find the condom they'll use. And back to my other point, we got to stop thinking about condoms and think about sex. And I'm at my last. So if we want to make headway over the next 5 years, I say we have to start thinking about 35 years. And what I mean by that is we need to start working with young boys, not young men, young boys, and help redefine for them what it is to be a man. And what it means to be a man is to be a man who will take responsibility for their sexual health. And that includes wearing condoms, because that's what their partner wants. And that's what feels good. And I will wrap up with, we need to use cultural and social sex educators, the norm in all porn, and I'm going to go back to something that's going on right now, hot in California, is where are they learning about sex? On the internet, and what's going on in the internet is a lot of sex without condoms. So if that's the cultural, social way we teach about sex, we need to change that paradigm. And thank you for listening.
David Frederick, we decided we'll take a couple of questions after each presenter, so you have those burning questions in mind. And thank you for both of those two presentations, both very, very interesting.
Yeah,
Ian
Banks
from
the saying here is you've got to listen to what the men are saying, and for that matter, listen to weapon endowed than the soldier of the gods.
Those are called the Texas guns, I think. I have no comment because I don't know the answer to that question.
If next question. Had been.